Blog Talk Radio.
Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and I am Gernard Reed. Today's message, the right seat, but the wrong arena. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be before you one more time. I will give out a number today that if at the end of the broadcast or any time, this is my public number, it's 804-313-7853. It's again, it's 804-313-7853. I'm available for consultations, and certainly anyone who wants to join Christ as their Savior, I'm available. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 22. That would be the Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. In the coming weeks, we will have a few preachers that will come in and speak for Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And obviously, we're based in Jeremiah with the word for the modern-day church. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 22. 18 reads, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faining me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Why then have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Pray with me, if you will. All-wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day and opportunity to praise and to magnify the holy and righteous name of the Lord God. Lord, we come before thee at this hour at the preaching hour, praying that you will take away all distractions, remove those things in our homes, remove those things in our cars that cause us to be distractions, that we may focus solely on thee. Even take away our aches and pains and those things in our lives and make us able to focus solely on you today to hear the blessed word of God. Take this preacher, make him able to preach only that which you've given him, speak the holy and righteous gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I come before thee now at this hour, asking for your guidance, asking for your peace, power, and protection, praying that the holy word would go forth and not return unto the void, but accomplish wherever it is sent. Lord, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Certainly, I greet you again. It's the day of Pentecost, and we celebrate the birth of the church on this day. The right seat, but the wrong arena. Back in 1980, the varsity club from my high school went to the Capitol Center to see the world champion Washington Bullets play basketball. We had never been to a pro basketball game before, and there early, and a few of us went down below the concourse, Section D, and got a nice seat to watch the Bullets warm up. And the usher came over to the seats where we were sitting and asked to see our ticket. The usher, upon looking at our ticket, she smiled and she said, "You guys are in the right arena, but you're certainly in the wrong seat." We had to go up into the ceiling where our seats actually were. And I remembered, it stuck by me, that we were in the right arena, but in the wrong seat. I'm likewise reminded by this story of about a dozen years ago. I went to a series of revival services where there was a faith healer. And the faith healer said the Lord told him at the beginning of that week, if you lay hands on them, they will be healed. If I lay hands on you, you will be healed. And he began to, each night, anoint people with oil and lay hands on them, and they were healed. People that I knew that had deformities and so forth for years, had chronic diseases, he was laying hands on them, and they were being healed right in front of our eyes. And then after each night after the healing service, I would go outside just full of joy and excitement and not ready to go home for the power that I had experienced and seen inside the building. But I began to notice that each night as I greeted people, people were saying to me things like, I would say, "Hey, how you doing?" And they would say things like, "Oh, my arthritis is killing me. My back. I just can't do much with this old back. My knee is hurting me." And I kept remembering hearing all of these complaints on the outside when the man of God was begging folk to come for guaranteed healing on the inside. In other words, they were in the right arena, but they were in the wrong seat. And then I am reminded of, I've been to Disney World 3 times. And every time that I've been to Disney World, I have observed a peculiar observation. I have observed a peculiar observation in that every time I've been to Disney World, I've seen children, kids, walking around with a sad face. I've seen kids walking around Disney World crying. How could you go to the Magic Kingdom, the most funnest place in the world, and be walking around with a sad face? But I've seen throwing tantrums, crying and carrying on at Disney World with a sad face. They perhaps are in the right arena, but in the wrong seat. The background for this 8th chapter and message today of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the Old Testament prophet and priest. He was unmarried. He had very few friends, and he was lonely. He was known by scholars as the weeping prophet. He prophesied to the kingdom of Judah before and after the fall. He didn't have a whole lot of good news. He just talked about the impending destruction if the people would not change their ways. His writing does not indicate that kings doubted that he was sent from God. Nobody wanted to hear what Jeremiah had to say. Jeremiah came across as a prophet of gloom, doom, and destruction. Jeremiah was dramatic and illustrative and spoke the truth. He said it even if it was unpopular. he consistently prophesied that if they did not change their ways, Judah would be carried away. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. He also prophesied that peacefully, Judah would be returned after 70 years of captivity. When the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, Jeremiah was spared. We remember, perhaps, Jeremiah 20, where the prophet cries out and curses the very day he was born. He declared that he would speak no more. He said, I will speak no more in God's name. But God's word was like a fire shut up in his bones, and he couldn't keep it to himself. Jeremiah was called to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, when we turn and look at this text, Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 22, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is fainting in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In these verses here, Jeremiah engages a three-way dialogue between the next generation, whom he calls the daughter, and between himself and God. The daughter is found in this prophecy in captivity and essentially crying out, if we, the Jews, are the chosen people of God, why are we in captivity in a faraway land? Where is God? What happened to Jerusalem? Then God responds, why have you provoked me to anger with your graven images and your strange vanities? The daughter, representing the next generation of Jews who are in captivity, they lament, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah responds that because Judah hurts, therefore he hurts. All of this is prophecy, which in just a few years was fulfilled to the very last detail. Finally, the daughter cries out, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of thy people recovered? Herein is our focus today. This is where we are going with this word from the Lord today. Maybe in the right arena, but some are in the wrong seat. I said the church is in the right arena, but some are in the wrong seat. The Jews in captivity will cry out, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why are we suffering like everybody else when we have the balm? The world around Judah was asking, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? If you are God's chosen people, why are you sick and suffering just like everybody else? Gilead was actually about 40 miles from Jerusalem. It was a mountainous land loaded with herbs and spices that were used for medicinal purposes, just like Karen Clark Sheard said in the song as we came on. Travelers came from far away to purchase these healing spices, the balm in Gilead. Imagine travelers going hundreds of miles to purchase a healing balm and upon arriving, noticing that the people in Gilead are just as sick as everybody else back home. Judah and Israel announced, let me break that down. Let me say that another way. Imagine you went to the medical center that was full of doctors and nurses waiting to wait on patients. And when you got there, the doctors were rolling around in wheelchairs, and the nurses were carrying mobile IVs while they were treating people. They were using the mobile IV for themselves, and folk were coughing and sneezing and carrying on. You wouldn't be too comfortable in a doctor in a hospital where all the doctors and nurses were just as sick as you were. That's the image that he puts forth here. Judah and Israel had announced to the whole world that they serve the only living and true God, and as such, they are the seed of Abraham, God's chosen people. Yet the nations observe, other nations observe that Israel has been destroyed and Judah has been taken away into captivity. It looks like the chosen people of God are no better off than anybody else. This brings us to the church. I got a few minutes left in this broadcast that I want to talk to the church, and I want to talk about the church. The church, y'all know the church, the called out community, called out of darkness into the marvelous light, a community of baptized believers set apart to God, given the keys to the kingdom, established on the perfect word of God, regenerated, justified, and consecrated by Jesus Christ, saved by grace, you know the church, saved by grace and sealed to the day of redemption. I'm talking about the church. Well, why then is the church walking around Disney World with a sad face? Why then is the church constantly complaining about aches and pains? Why then is the church about each other? Why then is the church, the called out, the chosen of God, why are they bickering and backbiting within the church itself? Why then is the church breaking promises and commandments just like the world? Now, we expect the world, the unbelievers, to be covenant breakers. We expect them to be violent, sexually immoral, whores and drunkards, emotionally driven and selfish. We expect that in a lost and dying world. But in 2022, it's difficult to distinguish the world from the church. In 2022, the church is out there marching with the world for abortion. The church has the same divorce rate as the world. The church has the same financial woes as the world. The church has the same broken homes and out of wedlock birth rates as the world. The church is participating in the same idolatry as the lost world. What is all this trouble in the church? How come the church has all this trouble? You're in the right arena, but is some of the church in the wrong seat? What is all this trouble in the church? Don't you know that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, more than conquerors, sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are the church. Jesus is the balm in Gilead. We got Jesus. I heard Karen Clark Sheard singing the song, Jesus is the balm in Gilead. And church, we got Jesus. And I'm glad that we got Jesus. If we're the church, we need to be set apart and called out. We need to act like the church that God called us to be. We need to act like the vessel, the living vessel, the living organism that God has planted on this earth to go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And I, Jesus said, I am with you even to the end of the age. The church is called out. The church is set apart. The church must be different from the world. The church must attract the world. The church must be a respite from the world's problems. The church needs to have their head up high. The church needs to have a smile on their face. The church needs to show love for one another. For Jesus said in his last hours, he said, my church will be known for their love for one another. We ought to love one another because we got the same blood running through our veins. There ought not be denomination against denomination. There ought not be Christian against Christian. There ought not be priest against prophet. The church is one church, one body in Christ. Call out of darkness into the marvelous light. We are the church. If somebody is saddled with fear in the world, they ought to be safe in the church. If somebody is beset by violence in their lives, they ought to be protected in the church. If somebody's hooked on drugs, they ought to be delivered in the church. If somebody is running from bill collectors, they ought to have respite in the church. If somebody is hungry and thirsty, they ought to be fed in the church. Oh, I wish I had a witness here that would testify that we are the church, called out of community, called out of darkness into the marvelous light, ready to serve. Why? Because we are the church. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is the world saying, if you have Jesus, how come I can't see him? If you have Jesus, why are you not happy? If you have Jesus, why are you not different? If you have Jesus, why don't you have answers? Because we do. We are the church built upon the rock, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Oh, I need to close out now, and I need to move on. But I was told by an old pastor the story of the church password. He told me the story of the password. He said, you see, a young man was walking down the street on the way to work. That was this old man. Most mornings, this old man would be sitting out there on the step of the apartment building. One day, the young man was walking by, and the old man said to him, hey, boy, how you doing? Young man spoke. He said, hey, old man, old fella, how you making it? Old fella said, well, I'm barely getting along, but I want to do something for you. I see you walking by here every day, and you look like you're about something. I won't give you the password. And the boy said, what's the password, old man? And he said, the password is 2535. And the young man said, I got it. Thank you, old man. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Young man went forth, and he changed the password on his laptop to 2535. He changed the password to get into his building to 2535. His password on his phone, on his tablet. He changed everything, waiting for the blessing of the Lord. He went down and played the number, 2535. He played it every way that he could think to play, 2535. And then after a few weeks, he noticed that nothing had happened. So one day he was coming through. He saw the old man, and he said to the old man, hey, old man, how you doing? The old man said, I'm doing fine. How about you? And the young man said, well, I want to tell you something. That old password that you gave me didn't do me a bit of good. I wish I had a witness here. He said, the password, I changed the password in my phone. I changed the password in my laptop to 2535. I played the number every day for as long as I could, every way which I could, and nothing happened. I'm here to tell you today that the password does not work. And the old man said, I gave you the password. I can't even remember like anything. He said, what was the password? And the boy said, 2535. And the old man said, oh, I'm so sorry. My memory ain't what it used to be. Matthew 2535 is the password. The password, church, is Matthew 2535. And Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. You gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. Stranger, you took me in. When I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you came to me. Church, that's the password, 2535. And then will the king said, come on up. Come on up, ye chosen of the Lord. And then they said unto the king, when did we see you hungry and fed you? When did we see you thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you naked and clothed you? A stranger and took you in. When did we see these things? When did we see you sick and came to you? When did we see you in prison and visited you? And the king said unto them, when you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm saying to the church today, the password is 2535. If you would just do those things that Jesus has laid out in Matthew 2535, that's the password to be the church that's in the right arena and the head seat below the concourse, right at courtside, able to see everything, able to cheer, able to shout hallelujah, able to stand on the feet and raise your hands in the air and ready to say hallelujah, glory to God in the highest. Recognized by the world as the church that's set apart. Recognized as somebody that may have an ache of pain, but shouts hallelujah anyhow. Recognized that I may be going through something right now, but even so, I don't look like what I've been through. The church that's shouting and holding their hands in universal praise. The church that's shouting Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Talking about the church. For God did not give me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind, the church. Though you persecute me, yeah, will I persevere, because I am the church. The church ought to be shouting hallelujah in the worst of times, just like the church can shout hallelujah in the best of times. The church ought to be the church Sunday through Saturday. The church ought to be the church in the face of danger. The church ought to be happy and excited all the time. The church ought to be loving and supportive of one another. The church ought to be recognized by their love for one another. The church ought to be sounding off on a constant basis. The church ought to praise God because of who he is. The church ought to shout hallelujah because of who he is. The church ought to call on the name of the Lord. The church ought to be known not for their long prayers, but for their effective prayers. The church ought to be known where two or three can gather in one place and shake up the whole town. The church ought to be known for the recitation of the word of God, but more than that, for the living the word of God. The church ought to be known that when nobody else can get a breakthrough, the church can open the book and get a breakthrough. I wish I had a witness in here. I got to close out now, but the church, Jesus Christ is the balm in Gilead. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the help of the daughter of my people recovered? Jesus is the balm in Gilead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Even so saith the Spirit, and I say this unto you, that if there is one among you that wishes to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that wants to change the way you're living, finding out that you're trying to be good, you're trying to do right as hard as you can, but the harder you try to do right, it seems like the more behind you get. The harder you try to do right, the more you stumble. It seems like when you wake up in the morning and you say, today I'm going to have a good day, I'm going to do right by everybody, it seems like everything goes wrong. You can't do it by yourself. You are probably a good person at heart, but you can't do it by yourself. And even if you think you have a bad heart, you can still turn to Jesus, because he's the balm in Gilead. He heals all ills. He can fix any maladies in your system. Regardless of what your circumstances and situation is, Jesus does the healing. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus has constructed a church that has no problems, that has no issues. Jesus has constructed a church that is the right arena. The problem that we preach about today is that some people have actually made it into the arena of the church, but they're in the wrong seat. Today we compel them to go to the seat that God has assigned you and do what God has called you to do. But the first step in doing that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, making him the head of your life, believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and he sits now at the right hand of the Father. He has victory over death and the grave, believing that today, on the day of Pentecost, that God poured his spirit out on the church, that all men of all creeds, all nations, everywhere on the globe have a right to come to God. It is the desire of God that all men should know God and come to the knowledge of the truth. The church is the people of God who have set themselves apart, join together to serve God, to do the work in the will of God, to perform Matthew 25:35, to live above and beyond, not to live a life of restricting ourselves from happiness, not to live a life of restricting ourselves from fun and joy, but to live a life that's filled with the joy of Jesus. If that is your ambition today, to find this Jesus, then I say to you, you can call me at this number. You can call me, or you can visit a local church. Give your life to the Lord. 804-313-7853. 804-313-7853. Finally, I close out with praise. Why do we praise God? Not because of what he's done, but in our worst times, we remember we praise him because of who he is. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, then I can lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Amen.
Good morning, and welcome to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. You have just heard from Reverend Jannard Reed. There is a balm in Gilead. We thank you so much for listening to us each week from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. We just heard from Kern Clark Shear, and we want to welcome you to our Sabbath. It says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. God bless you, and truly Jesus is a lily in the valley. And we want to say to all of you, get up, be joyful in the Lord, and you are welcome to praise his holy name. God bless you. Let us listen to Lily in the Valley with the VIP Mass Choir. Amen.
There is love in the valley, it's bright as morning star. There is love in the valley, it's bright as morning star. Somebody found her.
Have you found peace this morning as we say the lily in the valley? Truly, that's a beautiful song by the VIP Mass Choir, and we try to promote artists each week into the beauty of the Lord. This is our disclaimer that we don't own the songs, but we are promoting the artists. So God bless you. Let us get up and reverence God. Let's praise God. And matter of fact, let us pray to the Lord. You know, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. God bless you. Let us pray to the Lord at this time.
Our Father, though you are my Father, to say our Father tells that I'm not selfish about you, because you belong to us all. We come at this time with thanksgiving in our hearts for the many blessings that thou hast sent our way. We thank thee even for the rough mountains we've had to climb, for the low valleys we've had to trod. Lord, through it all, thou hast been good, thou hast been kind, thou hast sustained. And we pause for a little while to say, much obliged for all of thy goodness, for all of thy kindness. Lord, these are terrible times that we're living in. These are days whereby we're witnessing in this world energy crisis, soaring interest rates, double-digit inflation, seesawing of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. There's a steady decline of gross national product. Prices are high, but yet our incomes are going down. Lord, as we feel the effects of the times, economically some of us just don't know what to do. We know not which way to turn. Lord, we come today asking that thou would be with people irregardless of their age or stage, whether they're in their tender teens, their teachable 20s, their tireless 30s, forcible 40s, fearful 50s, seasoned 60s, settled 70s, aching 80s, nebulous 90s, or prodigious 100s. We ask that thou would sustain, that thou would take care. Lord, homes have become distorted now. Home is not what it used to be. Home to many has become a place where they take off their clothes and put on clothes and back out in the streets. Home has become a place now whereby every secret rendezvous is at the end of some dark avenue. These are days, oh God, where many homes are in turmoil, are near tribulation. But I ask if I would go into that home, go into that house that is not a home, turn that house again into a home. Bring peace into that troubled family. And then, Lord, there's somebody that's laying on that bed of affliction. Pain is dashing and racking throughout all parts of their bodies, but I know that thou art a doctor. Thou can speak and men will get up and walk. But if you speak...
Yes, God bless you. We say that if God would speak, then men would get up and walk. I want you to today just to reverence the Lord, to know that he loves you, and to know that God is here. God is with us each and every day. God is with us in and out of any due season. God loves you so. And as Karen Cox Shears sings that God is here, let us reverence the Lord, because we know that only through God do we have our substance to live, that we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our being. Let us praise God. Amen.
There is a
You know, as believers of God, we have to believe that God is here, that God loves us, and that he is with us each and every day. We have to believe that God is God all by himself. I want to encourage you today that as a believer in God, that you have the power over death. You have the power to have eternal life. That you have the power. You know why? Because your God is God all by himself. Let us listen to Marvin Sapp, "You Are God Alone," as we worship and praise the Lord. Amen.
No searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory. To you 40 years is but 1 hour. Encompassing to your wisdom, there is no end. Oh, for you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. You are he who was and is to come. Who is he that can number your days? He flung the sun to burn in faith, and the night moon found light from day.
You know, it's so nice as believers that we know that God is God all by himself, and he is God alone. We love him so. We worship him, we praise him, and we know that only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ do we have everlasting joy and we have our being. So I just want you to just sit back and just be encouraged and to know that your Father is able. I want to celebrate today. We're getting close to Father's Day, and truly one of the great fathers of religion, of the Christian church, is Dr. S.M. Lockridge. We want to celebrate him in November 1982. He gave such a beautiful sermon that was ever preached in reference to Jesus. So as we get ready for Father's Day, I just want to share a little bit of that sermon with you. God bless you, and know that you are his beloved, and to know that he loves you until the end of this earth. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Amen.
I've come to say today that in these days when we are killing ourselves trying to live, people still think that they can find peace of mind in pills. They try to eat their way to ecstasy. They try to drink their way to pleasure. They try to smoke their way to settled nerves. They try to puff their way to popularity and push their way to power. They try to bully their way to friendship and bum their way to world peace. But I've come today to say I know where a poor man has a chance. Where a sick man can get well. Where an ignorant man can become wise. A bad man can be made good. A good man can be made better. And even a dead man can be made alive. It's in Jesus Christ. We live unto the Lord. And when we die, we die unto the Lord. Yea, the great end for which Christ died and lived again, lived always, is that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, this word Lord means having power or authority. The Great Commission is based on the claims of our Savior's lordship. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lord means ownership. His lordship is based on his ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now, he didn't have to put a signature in the corner of a sunrise. He's the owner. He didn't have to put a laundry mark in the lapel of a meadow. He's the owner. He didn't have to carve his initials in the side of the mountain. He's the owner. He didn't have to put a brand on the cattle of a thousand hills. He's the owner. He didn't have to take out a copyright on the songs that he gives the birds to sing. He's the owner. Beyond the human level, the word Lord stands as a reverent allusion to God. Now, the Orthodox Hebrew in Jesus' day, as in our own, would not even pronounce the sacred name God, Jehovah, or Yahweh. Instead, when he read the sacred and incommunicable name of God, he would simply say, the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, Christians have applied this title to Christ in the latter usage. On either the human or divine level, the title Lord is a mark of respect, an implied pledge of obedience. Once Simon Peter stood before a hostile crowd and said, God has made that same Christ whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Christ represents the thing that God has done to redeem us. Lord represents what we ought to do because we are redeemed. Now, we ought to call him owner because he possesses absolutely our lives. In him we live and move and have our being. We ought to call him owner. We ought to call him father and be obedient sons and daughters. For he's our only hope and he's our only help. God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh walls to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder and burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jesus is Lord because he came down the stairway of heaven. Born in Bethlehem, hid in Egypt, brought up in Nazareth, baptized in Jordan, tempted in the wilderness. He performed miracles by the roadside. He healed multitudes without medicine and made no charges for his service. He conquered everything that came up against him. He took your sins and mine and went out on Calvary and there died. While hanging on that cross, Jesus said several things. But when the thief taunted him and said, if you be the Christ, come down from the cross and save yourself and us. To that taunt, Jesus never said a mumbling word. But the silence seemed to have said, you just wait until Sunday morning. And I'll show you that it's better to come up out of a grave than it is to come down from a cross. And he dropped his head in the locks of his shoulder, and he died. I mean, he really died. Don't pay attention to a cruel theory. He died. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the veil in the temple was rent in twain. He died until, Matthew says, the dead got up out of the grave and walked the streets after the resurrection. He died the centurion says, surely this must have been the Son of God. I'm trying to say he died. But I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like to stay there talking about he died. I like to rush on and say he was buried in Joseph's new tomb. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now that used to bother me. The one who holds the waters in the hollow of his hand and meets out the heavens with a span, comprehends the dust and weighs the mountains in a scale and a hill in the balance. The one who walks on the brow of nothing and with a gesture of his hands words were formed, scoops out the seas with the palm of his hand, dug deep the gorges, piled up the hills, and popped up the mountains by his will. The moon and stars lean on his arm. Being buried in a forest seat. Well, he wasn't going to stay there long, for it started to... went down in that grave and stayed in the grave long enough to clean it out and make it a pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. And on schedule, he got up with every form of power in the orbit of his omnipotence. Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, men are thinking that maybe one of these days his power is going to fade. They're thinking that one of these days that somebody will wrestle his power from him. Some have in mind they're going to destroy his power. Well, brother, if you're going to destroy his power, what are you going to use for power? If you try to destroy him by fire, he'll refuse to burn. If you try to destroy him by water, he'll walk on the water. If you try to destroy him by strong wind, the tempest will lick his hand and lay down at his feet. If you try to destroy him by law, you'll find no fault in him. If you try to destroy him by a seal of an empire, he'll break it. If you try to destroy him by putting him in a grave, he'll rise. If you try to destroy him by rejection or ignoring him, soon you'll hear a still small voice saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If a man will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the pearl from paradise. He's the gem from the glory land. He's truth's fairest jewel, and he's time's choicest theme. He's life's strongest cord, and he's life's clearest ray. He's purity's whitest peak, he's joy's deepest tide. His name stands as a synonym for free healing, friendly health, and full salvation. His blessed name is like honey to the taste. It's like harmony to the ear. It's like health to the soul. It's like hope to the heart. He's higher than the heavens of heavens, and he's holier than the holy of holies. In his birth is our significance. In his life is our example. In his cross is our redemption, and in his resurrection is our hope. At his birth, men came from the east, and at his death, men came from the west. And the east and the west met in him. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And at his name, to his name, in his name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, the young knee, every knee, the old knee, every knee, the white knee, every knee, the black knee, every knee, wounded knee, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, many say, I've got a lot of living to do. I'll accept him as Savior, and I'll acknowledge him as Lord. But I've got a lot of living to do. You don't really live until you come to him who said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And then some I hear praying, Lord, when I must go somewhere and crawl up in a dying bed and learn how to die. Brother, who told you you were going anywhere else? And who told you you were going to have the strength or the time to crawl up in a dying bed? And who told you you had to learn how to die? You learn how to live. And as you live, so you die. But I'm not going to wait, because borderline salvation is better than being lost, but that's too dangerous to risk. That's the reason the prophet said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will have mercy to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm not going to wait. I acknowledge him as my Lord now. The Lord is love, and his love is stronger than sin. It's deeper than sorrow, and it's mightier than death. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my shield and my buckler. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, this old world is a wilderness of want. We're always wanting something. A man will break his health down trying to get well. And then he'll turn around, spend his wealth trying to get his health back. If it isn't one thing, it's another. From the rocking in the cradle to the folding in the grave, something is always running out. If your bank account gets low, then your blood pressure gets high. If you've got money, your health breaks down. If you've got a job, your eyesight gets dim. If you've got food on your table, your faith gets weak. If it's not your enemies bothering you, it's your so-called friends. If it's not your kinfolk mooching off of you, it's your church folks. And while you're building up over here, it's falling apart over there. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A little girl was asked to recite this verse, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. They said she's wrong. I said she's right. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I shall not want for rest, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside the still water. I shall not want for forgiveness, for he restoreth my soul. I shall not want for guidance, for he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not walk for companionship, for yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I shall not walk for comfort, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not walk for sustenance or provision, for thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not walk for joy, for thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I shall not want for anything in this life, for goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want for anything in the life to come, for I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I didn't say I'll camp or tent or tabernacle, but I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll dwell in a land where we'll never grow old. I'll dwell out there where the silence of eternity is interpreted by love. I'll dwell in the sun-kissed regions of an unclouded day. Dwell in a city that hath foundation, whose building maketh God. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen, amen. We have just heard from Dr. Lockridge, one of the religious leaders and fathers to the Christian church. Truly, truly, the Lord has blessed him so that we can understand better who our Father is. And each and every day of our lives, we should just worship God. We should worship him in spirit and truth. We love the Lord. Won't you open up your heart today and just bow down and just receive God with all your heart with all your mind. Let us listen to the Full Gospel Baptist Fellowship Mass Choir as we sing Bow Down. God bless you.
Of the Lord. We're going to worship Him. The Bible declares that we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I want every hand lifted. If you want to close your eyes, go ahead and close them, but I want you to focus upon Jesus now. For He alone is worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be adored. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get an amen on that? The Bible records in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11, it says, when the wise men came to the place where baby Jesus was, it says, when they saw Him, they fell down and worshiped Him. Everybody say, fell down. They bowed down and they worshiped Him. And the scripture says, and then their treasures were opened. And they presented unto Him gifts. And therein is a glorious revelation of the Spirit. And it is this, that when you and I will humble ourselves and begin to worship, the treasure that is in this earthen vessel begins to open up. Somebody say yes. And the gifts of the Spirit of God that are within us begin to flow. I believe if we will worship God with our whole heart, our whole spirit and soul, God's presence and power will begin to move in this place. People can be healed and delivered even while we're worshiping and recording. Does anybody believe that with me? I want you to lift up your hands now and begin to lift up your voices. That's right. Just begin to open your own mouth and begin to worship Him. Out of your spirit, just begin to bless His holy name. If He's done anything for you, just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. That's right. Begin to worship. Begin to bless His name. Begin to bless His name. Come on and bless me.
Won't you bow down with me and we're just going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Truly, we love Him today. We're going to remember the Sabbath. We're going to keep it holy. You know why? Because each and every day, our God is able. No matter what we go through in life, no matter what it seems like, that God is with us. Truly, you are His beloved. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Each and every day should be a worship unto God, should be a blessing unto the Father, because He loves you. If Jesus doesn't do it, it cannot be done. I'm telling you again, if Jesus don't fix the problem, it will not be fixed. Truly, we love the Lord. And guess why? Because it is your season to know that God can do anything. Thing but fail. When you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, when you recognize that you need Jesus, when you open up your heart, that favor falls upon you. You are his beloved. You know, as we look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, it talks about an agreement with God. You can expect through salvation to have healing, to have power, but you can have agreement. You know why? Because things work in your favor for your good. And I can prove that right now as we look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. I'm sorry. It says here that I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I'll say it again. That's Matthew chapter 18, verses 18, and we're going to look at 19. It says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. I'll say it again. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with him. You know why? Because it is working. It is working through the power of the Holy Ghost, like Will Murphy said, that it's working only through the death, burial, or resurrection do we have our power. Let us praise him at this time. Amen. You know, the songwriter said, everything is working for my good. And it says here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, that whatever you bind on earth, you know, when Jesus looked ahead to a new day, he would present things to his followers, not in body, but through the Holy Spirit. As a believer, as a member of the body of Christ, we are his church. We are his beloved. Where there are two or more people in agreement, regardless if it's thousands of people, it says two or more people. And when you believe in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit within inside of you and you are filled with that Holy Spirit, you can pray according to God's will, not by your wants, not by your desires, but by the Holy Spirit to be filled according to his promises, and pray to the Father that your request will be granted, that this is your season so that you can be blessed. I want to encourage you today that if you are not saved and if you don't know Christ, you want to know the God that I speak about week after week, that I want you to know that he loves you. You are his beloved. You are safe with him. You are safe in his arms. You are safe in his promises. You are safe in his word. You know why? Because even before the beginning of time, and we talk about agreement, let us look at that. Even when heaven and earth was made, it was by the agreement of God that he said, let there be. Do you know how powerful it is? When Jesus died on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, he came here to fulfill a promise of the Father that we could have eternal life. His life was spared for us because he was in the agreement. He was in the fold of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. And even God himself in the beginning of time, that he said, let there be. You have to be in agreement with God to have his power, to have death over the grave, to have victory in your life, to have salvation. We heard today from Reverend Reed when he said, there is a balm in Gilead. Do you know what that means? That there are promises that by Jesus' stripes that you can be healed. There are miracle signs and wonders, as we heard from Dr. Lockridge, that Christ himself walked over the waters and he spoke to angry seas in our life, in our situation, in worldwide crisis. Peace be still. If God can't do it, it cannot be done. You have to be in agreement to know that only through the power, the death and burial and resurrection of Christ will you be victorious and will you be safe in his arms. You know what that means? That you don't have to worry about this, that when you have a sincere prayer from the heart and you are guided through the Holy Spirit, that he will come in and sup with you. You know, it says that if you open up your heart, that Christ will come in. The Holy Spirit will dwell with you, give you spiritual truth, give you victory, and help to solve any problem. There's nothing too hard for God. That you can be reassured that this man that we speak about week after week, we talk about Jesus. We talk about the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. We talk about his Holy Spirit. You know why? Because we know we have victory in him. We know that we have everlasting joy is in him, and we have peace knowing that he is our Father. Won't you try him today? You know, I thank God for those who have come on the radio to encourage me in my journey, because only through two, to be in agreement, can we fight this thing together. You know, I remember one time I said, God, I don't have anyone to pray with. I just have me, myself, and I. And the sweet spirit of the Lord dropped in my heart and said, I am with you always until the end of this earth, that he make petition for us, that he sits on the right hand of the Father, and that he will be with us until the end of time. We love him today. We want to encourage you today. As he said, regardless what you did, what you've been through, what you said out your mouth, your action, word, and deed, just repent. So God, forgive me. Forgive me another chance. Help me to walk upright before you, because I want to have that safe assurance that you are my God and you are my Savior, and I love you. Won't you come in? Amen. Let us listen to Milton Bronson, Safe in His Arms. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We come on each week from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. We just want to encourage you, to motivate you, to inspire you, and to lift you up as you go about your journey, whether it be to a church or a gathering or even a cell group, to know that gather yourself together so that you can be strong in the Lord so that you can hear his word. You know, it says, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. He's in the midst of us today. He's listening to us all over the world. Isn't that powerful to know that your prayer and my prayer can be answered? You know why? Because we have the safety of his word, of his promises, to know that we are his beloved and we're in his arms. Amen. Encourage you today, as we heard from the Thompson Community Singers, that you are safe in his arms, you are safe in his word, and you are blessed. He said, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. Truly, God is in the midst of us. You are his beloved, and he loves you. God bless you. God bless you. And to know that your Lord is your Savior and you are his beloved, that you don't have to worry about this journey. Just turn it over to God. Again, if you're not saved, I ask you, I invite you, I encourage you to get to know this Lord who will be with you through all the ups and downs, the good and the bad, and that he will be there and you will be safe in his arms. God bless you today as you stand on Psalms 23, as we always like to highlight Jeff Majors, as I said before, as a disclaimer, that we try to promote the artists and their songs of praise of Zion. Truly, they should be recognized for the beautiful harmony and music that they have done, especially Jeff Majors as he on the harp. And I want to encourage you to listen to us each week. It's Sunday mornings from 8:30 a.m. until 10 o'clock. God bless you, and to just know that he loves you. And if you have already accepted Christ and you just want to get a closer walk and you want to come back to the Father, repent of your sins, and to say, Father, here am I. I'm not perfect. This is why your son died for me. And as you said at prayer, stand on Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and say, Our Father, make it personal. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You know, you have to personalize that prayer. You have to know that your Father sits high, he looked low, that his name is to be glorified all over this earth, and that he loves you. You are his beloved. Daily he provides for you. Daily he wakes you up in the land of the living. Daily he put breath in your body. Daily the Holy Spirit is reaching out to you. Forgive yourself. Forgive others around you. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Don't yield to temptation or things that will tear you down in your character, tear you down in your relationship with God, tear you down with your family, with loved ones, with friends, even your enemies. Forgive them. Forgive those who have come up against you, and ask God to deliver you even from yourself, even from malice, even from the evil of this world. Remember, I told you last week, I believe, that God said that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we are to treat people the way that we want to be treated. How can we dwell in heaven if we can't love one another, regardless of the denomination, like Reverend Reed said, regardless of the skin color, the gender? We got to love people unconditionally. It's not about makeup. It's not about economics. It's not about any of those things that man measures you by, but it's about your heart, that heart that's unconditional, that heart know how to forgive and love neighbors like yourself. God bless you again. You have been listening to Apostle Margie Mercer. Each week I come on with the Fivefold Ministry to encourage you, to inspire you, and to reverence the things of God. Have a beautiful day in the Lord. Amen.
Lord.